Hey y'all, movie retrospective time. So this movie right here won the poll overwhelmingly, and I have to say, I'm actually shocked that we hadn't done this one.
I thought we did do
I thought we had done this one, but then when I went back and looked at our back catalog, I couldn't find it. Now, we have done a lot of David Cronenberg movies, okay? We did Videodrome, we did Shivers,
it.
Dead Zone, Dead Ringers. Did we do The Brood?
I think we
I
did the
think we met
brew.
it in The Brood. So we've done like a lot of David Cronenberg movies, but for whatever reason, we've never got around to his most popular, his most financially successful movie, The Fly from 1986.
I always forget that this is a Cronenberg flick.
Maybe because I don't know, because I guess Cronenberg is so much seen as more like,
Indie shit.
Artistic horror movies and stuff like that. So they don't usually get. This is weird because this is like the kind of movie that it's kind of rare because it's one that was really, really popular, like with audiences. And I feel like it was really popular with audiences, even that didn't really, that weren't really into horror movies, even though this is like disgustingly like extreme. Like a lot of the gore and like the effect, practical effects in it are really, really gross.
I remember when this came out, everybody liked it. It was a big hit. And it
Yeah.
was like I never really think of it as a Cronenberg flick because it was just so mainstream. It was kind of like Jurassic Park or something. It was that size of a movie. And usually, a horror movie with body horror, Cronenberg type shit, it never gets that big. But this movie
Yeah.
was huge.
Which is just
Huge.
kind of a credit to how brilliant a film this is and how everything kind of came together.
And it had Jeff in it.
Jeff Goldblum,
Yeah, he was saucing too, you could tell. All that
yeah.
definition, I know he was on the sauce. He looked good though. He looked good in the movie.
Well, they kind of had they kind of had him bulk up after he went through the telepod because
They
th they
wanted him to
wanted him
be
to
more.
look like he was getting like more primal because he's like turning into a fly or
It's like
whatever.
he went on a cycle. I feel so much better.
Yeah,
My joints feel
for
great.
a little while, and then he's like, "Oh shit, my ears are falling off." not so good. But I'm imagining most people know. I kind of feel like this is one of the movies that's brought up when everybody talks about oh remakes that were actually good, this and The Thing. But I don't know. I don't know if I would technically call this a remake because.
A lot of differences.
Well, okay, well, for one thing, the original movie, which came out in 1958, which was also called The Fly, obviously, was based on a short story from 1957 by George Langolan that was in Playboy magazine. And the original movie, which is fun, but it's kind of like that campy late 50s
50
kind of
stuff, yeah.
sci-fi. And today it's kind of like you'd watch and it'd just kind of be like funny because it's a dude with a fly head.
Yeah, it's like an episode of Outer Limits.
Yeah, it's something like that. Which, like I said, I like that movie. I enjoy it. And actually, like the last scene with like the fly with the little human head getting eaten by this
Randy!
spider, that's pretty fucked up. I mean, because I can imagine like what would that be like? Like if that happened to you, that'd be horrifying. So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's still a good movie, but the one that they made in the 80s was completely kind of rewritten. I mean, because what happened was, I guess 20th Century Fox. They own the rights to the story. They own the rights to the original one. So in the 80s, they were kind of kicking around. You guys remember, like, if you grew up in the 80s, there was kind of like a thing where they were taking sort of like 50s movies and like remaking them. Like I said, like The Thing, The Blob, stuff like that, and like making them more kind of like high concept, gorier, that kind of stuff. So The Fly was one that they really wanted to remake because it was their property. Now, initially, it kind of went back and forth. They had a guy named, I think his name was David Edward Pogue or Chris Edward Pogue or something like that. And he wrote the initial screenplay, which was much more based on the story. Like the couple at the center were already husband and wife, stuff like that. But he actually did come up with the idea of it being a gradual transformation. Whereas in the original movie, and I think in the original story,
It
he
was
basically
instant.
comes out of the telepod with a fly hand and a fly head.
But you don't know. You see it later,
Yeah, because
basically.
he like tries to hide it. But yeah, so the original screenplay, like I said, did introduce the idea of a gradual transformation rather than a sudden one. Now, they wanted, I guess Mel Brooks was also a producer on this, which a lot of people don't know.
It's funny that you actually draw parallels between this and the thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it, but yeah, this is Carpenter and Cronenberg were friends, and this is they you know they did they played off of one another a lot, mentioned each other in the movies. Like they'll sneak the fucking word Cronenberg in
or give someone a last name. Yeah.
And I can see it now. I didn't realize it, but yeah, this is Cronenberg's version of the thing.
Yeah, because
like his response to fucking Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah, because The Thing was also kind of like a loose remake. Yeah. Not really a remake, but a reimagining.
I don't like it quite as much, but it is at that same level. It is at that same
level. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I don't know if it's my favorite Cronenberg movie because he's made so many awesome ones.
Yeah.
But I mean, this one is amazing. This and like I said, it you know, the fact that it was so commercially successful and it's like a really graphic, gross, like horror movie. You know, in the same way The Thing was, but The Thing wasn't financially successful.
Makes me want to see The Blob again now. The new, the remake of The Blob.
I've been wanting to rewatch that for a long time because I remember that. That came in 88. I remember that being kick-ass. Like, it was really, really, like, the effects were really good.
Not Mars Attacks, the fucking, one of the Martians and the kid. His parents get taken by the Martians. I remember liking that one, too.
Isn't that the Tobey Hooper one?
I think so. And that was another 50s remake from around this time.
Yeah, before, like I said, it was kind of like a trend, like a mini trend that was going on at the time.
Invaders from Mars, that's what it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, originally, I think Mel Brooks, who I said was one of the producers on this, like I said, not a lot of people know that. He was also a producer on David Lynch's Elephant Man, in case you guys didn't know that, which we mentioned on our review of it a while back. But he wanted Cronenberg, but at the time that they were asking him about it, Cronenberg was actually working with Dino De Laurentiis on Total Recall, because he was the original director for that, which now that I know that, I'm just kind of like, now I want to go back like in another timeline and see David Cronenberg's Total Recall, because that would have been like kick-ass. But yeah, so... So that kind of like fell through. So Mel Brooks was going to get another director, but then Cronenberg, the shit with Total Recall didn't work out. They brought in Paul Verhoeven or whoever it was that directed it, and so David Cronenberg came on. But he said, "Well, I'll direct this movie because, like I said, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm pretty sure that David Cronenberg started out as like an entomologist.
I didn't know that,
right? So, or he studied it or something like that." So this was like something that a project that he was really interested in doing, but he said, "Well, I'll come on and direct it if you let me like rewrite the script," because he liked some things about the script, but some things he wanted to change. So he did actually like change a bunch of stuff. He made it. The scientist and the woman weren't husband and wife already; they had just like met and stuff like that. So because he thought that would be more, he wanted to bring more. Sexual dynamics into it, you know what I mean? Because
well, it was boring, the original one.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And you had to have more for the fly to do.
Yeah,
Brenda Fly had to be able to do all kinds of shit, and you needed more people in the story.
Yeah, and he said
a couple
too,
women, and you needed
dudes. and he said too that he wanted. That he wanted Brundle to be more articulate until later into the movie. Because, like, in the original movie, like, he has the fly head and he can't really talk all that much. And then in the original script for this one, he kind of, like, loses his ability to speak, like, about two-thirds of the way through. And David Cronenberg said no, he wanted more, like, emotional resonance. So he's like, for that, we're going to have to be able to, like, hear him speak, like, until the last possible moment.
It's much better than the original.
It's
a good movie, and you got to hand it to Cronenberg. He did just pull this script out. You're talking about this wasn't the script from the original movie. Just a very basic concept.
Yeah,
he made a good script about it.
Yeah, I mean the thing about it, and like when the movie came out, and like I saw this in the credits when we were watching it last night. It's on Hulu, by the way, if you want to watch it. Is that he insisted on his name being underneath the other screenwriter, because he's like, even though they use most of his ideas, he's like, well, that guy's script was kind of like the foundation of it, and he's like, so I just changed some things. So he said, well, that guy should get top credit.
There you go. Yeah.
So because he was the one that, and he was the one that came up with the transformation aspect, and stuff like that.
Speaking of the effects are good. The practical effects are real good, especially for the time.
I mean, the guy that worked on this, Chris Wallace. He had previously done Gremlins, and he worked on Raiders of the Lost Ark and like some others. So he was like kind of a big, you know, guy, like, you know, effects guy. This movie only cost $9 million to make.
Damn.
As soon as I found that out today, because we just watched it like last night, and I was like, holy fucking crap. Like all of those practical effects, it was all puppetry and all that kind of stuff. They pulled that off with $9 million. And then the movie made $60 million, which like I said, was like a big, I mean, for a graphic horror movie, that's like pretty, that's pretty awesome.
And they also came up with some nifty ideas, you know what I mean? The fly being just kind of blended in with him at a genetic level, you know what I mean? And so he just had fly DNA now. And then later on, he gets blended with a damn door of fucking Pod C. That was a weird group effect.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. Because I've seen this
movie
a lot of times.
The damn door was open. So, it fucked.
So the machine's like, oh, you want to fuse that with that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a good idea. So, you know, they're pulling these ideas out. It's good. It's good. They're thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
Like, what would happen if the door was open? Oh, yeah. But me and Jane were thinking, well, what would happen if the damn hair from the damn monkeys that he was teleporting, what if that was still in there?
Well, I was watching another video earlier today that said, well, what about all the, like, microbes and stuff that would be in there? It's like, well, you can't think about it too much. It's just sci-fi. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like... Yeah, you know, it's just it's a story.
Well, I was saying that it was what happens if somebody left fingerprints behind in their sweat and shit, you know. So
that would just be
the limitation. That would be a limitation of the technology. You'd have to be totally fucking sanitized.
It would have to be like completely sterilized every time you used it.
Yeah,
because like I said, what if you like that baboon had like left a hair in there and then he like fuses with a baboon?
Another thing is that your body's filled with fucking symbiotes and parasites.
Yeah, that's what this person was pointing out.
Microbes are in there.
They're like, it's like, why wouldn't he have become like E. coli man or something like that?
I guess the computer was able to keep track of all that.
Yeah, that's kind of like the thing that people hand wave away. They're like, well, he was smart enough to know that, you know, that he had accounted for that, like in his programming, but he hadn't accounted for another thing being in there with him.
Yeah,
which that's fair enough. Like I said, it's sci-fi. You can't think about it too hard, because it'll be like
starts falling apart.
It'll be like plot holes everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I was going to say that, there's special effects in this. Like I said, they still look amazing. It's kind of like, there's actually a couple of sequences in that were originally in here that were taken out. And because test audiences did not respond well to them.
What was taken out?
Okay, so this one scene, and this is before, like, Jeff Goldblum, Seth Brundle, has gone all the way into fly mode, and he's experimenting with, he's doing his genetic splicing, you know what I mean? Because, you know, as toward the end, like, him and, he wants Veronica, his girlfriend, played by Gina Davis, because she's pregnant with his baby, he wants to, like, fuse them all together. So I guess he's, like, testing that. So he puts in a baboon and a cat.
Oh, that'd have been good. Yeah.
And, I mean, you can still see it. It's in the deleted scenes. They did shoot it. And so the creature that comes out is, like, this fucked up looking, like, baboon, half cat hybrid. It's got, like, a cat head sticking out of the
hide. Oh, so it's
And bland. It's, like, it's really, really horrifying looking. And it attacks him. And it wasn't so much the creature that upset people, but... The creature attacks him and he throws it off and then just beats the shit out of it, like, with an iron bar. And I think audiences thought, well, it's not so much the creature, it's just that it makes him less sympathetic.
Right, makes it look
like, because he's, like, beating this poor, like, helpless creature that he made to death.
Yeah.
So they took it out.
That fits, though, what he said. He was saying that insects don't have any compassion.
Yeah.
So that would have been better to kind of make him just becoming a monster, becoming an insect.
I mean, I think that I don't know. Like, I've seen the scene, because you can see it on YouTube, because it's on the Blu-ray and everything.
Did it look good? The
yeah, it looked cool, actually. It wasn't big. It was kind of, like, bigger than cat size, but not as big as baboon size, which makes sense.
I would have made it an even blend, though, not just something mashed together. That would have been cooler. Like a baboon thing with a cat face and cat ears and claws. I would have made a totally new animal, because that would support what he's talking about. Gene splicing is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So if it did that, if it just mashed them together physically, then that means the transporter wouldn't have worked. to blend him and somebody else. It just would have mashed them together.
But I think by that point, he was, like, so far gone that he was just, like... As soon as he found out she was pregnant, he's okay. Like, oh, well, maybe...
Right.
Maybe that'll... I don't think he really thought it was going to work.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? He was kind of, like, getting to the point where he was just trying to, like, hang on to the last shred of his humanity, but it was just, like, slipping away
from
him.
When you mash a cat and a baboon together, is it a kaboom?
It's a kaboom.
It's a kaboom. Yeah.
Or a bad cat.
Yeah. Bad cat.
But yeah, so that was taken out, because like I said, they thought it made him less sympathetic, which, you know, I can see that. The other scene that was taken out, it's interesting, too, because this movie ends... It's like, I don't feel bad about spoiling this, because everybody has seen this fucking movie. Wow. Even if you haven't seen it, you know the story of it. Like, you know...
You know what happens.
He invents a teleporter.
The title alone.
Turns him into a half-man, half-life. I think in the original screenplay that Pogue wrote... I think he basically turned, it was still a gradual transformation, but he turned into more like a man-sized fly.
Yeah.
Whereas David Cronenberg wanted something that looked more, I guess, like realistic and more like the progression of an actual disease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he could kind of use that as a metaphor for like disease or like the aging process.
Yeah. Towards the end, though, he did look like a man-sized fly.
He did kind of. Yeah. They just wanted, like, more of a human look to him, and they wanted him to still have, like, kind of expressive eyes. You could still see that he was in there.
Yeah, it was like a metamorphosis. The fly was inside of him, remember?
And yeah.
And everything fell off like a shell.
Yeah, once she, like, reached up and pulled his jaw off, and then it all just, like, cracked open.
So he was kind of, like, becoming a cocoon.
Yeah, it was like that kind of thing, which I think was actually, like, a good way to go.
Yeah.
But so the end of this, where basically he has enough humanity left to kind of like lift the gun up, the rifle up, and like put it to his head, like, you know, shoot me, put me out of my misery, and she doesn't want to do it, but then she does finally do it, and then it ends. I actually really liked the way it just ended abruptly like that. You know what I mean? But they did actually shoot a bunch of different kind of codas to the, you know, little endings to it. But it's just when they showed them to different audiences, everybody was like, no, they didn't really like it. I think they liked the impact more of them, of her just like killing him and putting him out of his misery, and then it was the end. Because some of the ones they did, like one of the endings that they shot was her back in bed with her dickbag ex-boyfriend. So they got back together, which people did not like at all. And she was having a dream, or you didn't know it was a dream at first, but she had a dream that she gave birth to a baby and it was normal, but then it grew like butterfly wings.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Like, I've seen that ending too, and I'm like, that looks a little silly to me.
Yeah.
And Cronenberg didn't really like it either. And he's just like, no, we're not doing that.
Ending it is a lot like the way The Thing ended.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that had a lot more impact.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like, you know, Cronenberg was like, you know, we shot all these different endings and stuff, and we tested the different ones with audiences, but he's like, I didn't really like any of them, because he's like, I really liked that impact of just like him being dead. And then like the end, it's like, it didn't really seem like it took away, you know, it kind of like deflated a lot of the emotional resonance of that moment when you just had this, oh, it's kind of a happy ending, like where she ends up back with this asshole ex-boyfriend of hers. But that's another thing. This is really the only, and I don't even know if I'd call this a criticism. Maybe the only slight criticism I have of this is that her ex-boyfriend, who's also the editor, her editor, right, like at the magazine she works at, is a giant gaping anus. You know what I mean? Like through the first half of this movie. I mean, he's like not even disguising it. He's like, he might as well, he's just like a giant fucking tool. And for him to... I like that he had some character growth in the sense that he kind of goes on to become a hero, like to help her and stuff. I think it happened a little bit too quickly.
He didn't have a choice.
I mean, and honestly, like, but I was thinking about it when I was watching it, because like I said, I'm a writer and I think about these things. So I was kind of like, well, I guess she could justify it by saying, well, he had an ulterior motive because he wanted her back. And he's like, oh, your boyfriend's turning into a fly creature? Well, just let me help you out with that. Maybe we can, like, kill him and stuff. So he was kind of like, so maybe you could argue that he's still kind of a dick because he had, like, ulterior motives for helping her.
Cost him a hand, though.
And a foot.
That's right.
I love that scene, honestly, because that guy was like such a shit, and then at the end, like, I was like, I don't care if you're like turning around now and like trying to be a better person. It's like,
well, I guess you could say
when Jeff Goldblum like barfed on his ankle and it's like his butt came off.
I guess they were just trying to say that at least he was a human being.
Yeah, and
the fly didn't have any compassion once.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is that in a way, like, I can see, because it's almost kind of like an inversion, because Jeff Goldblum's character, Seth Brundle, it's like he started out as like a really nice, like sensitive dude, and then like after he went through and got the fly DNA, he became like a raging jackwad.
And it went the other way.
Went the other way, and then the other way started out as a raging jackwad, and then it was like an inversion of character, which, like
had,
I said,
he had to suffer to atone. He had to put his ass on the line and lose a hand and a foot, but then, you know, he was a human. But a human wouldn't let that go down. A fly would.
Yeah,
that's what they got. Because
fly don't give a
fly didn't give a shit. Fly's a damn robot.
But yeah, so that's the only thing. But like I said, I've seen a couple of people say that curse. But if you look at it in that light, because it's weird, I was watched. Like I said, I've seen this movie a bunch of times, and when I was watching it again last night, I was like, wow, that movie seems really short. I guess it's just because one thing I noticed too about this time of watching it, this movie is very efficient. There's not a single scene in there that is wasted.
Yeah.
It just kind of like, it gets right into the very first scene is Seth meeting Veronica at that party, and he just immediately says, I'm working on something that'll save the world, or, you know, change the world. And like, then they just immediately get into it. So like every single thing is kind of building up to this thing. And like I said, there's nothing that's wasted. It doesn't meander. It's just, you know, I don't even remember like what the running time is, but it's because I was sitting there going, man, that just flew by. You know what I mean?
Well, now that you mention it, man, it's a lot like The Thing.
Yeah.
Where it draws you in. It's very kind of direct. It's situational. It's showing you one thing after another. There's no, like I said, no meandering. The edit's real tight. It's not the same kind of setting. You know what I mean? Like The Thing's happening in the Arctic, you know, down in Antarctica, and it looks like you're in the Antarctica. It is really impressive, you know, what Carpenter did. This one is different. It's in an urban setting, mostly happening in apartments and stuff, and laboratories, and you know, and his laboratory was in his apartment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it didn't even have an elevator, did it? That apartment, they had to walk upstairs.
Yeah, it was stairs. So guess, yeah, because remember he was carrying that girl like up the stairs. Yeah. Tawny was that character's name.
But it does make you feel like you're seeing it happen. And you know what I mean? Like you're there. It does feel grounded in reality.
Yeah.
It does have that 80s style, late 80s style. It looks good. It looks real good. And it's just a straightforward storytelling that keeps you in there. Keeps you grounded in it.
And honestly, I think that Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, who were a couple in real life at the time, actually, which I had forgotten about.
Real good acting, yeah.
That really lends this a real emotional impact that a lot of horror movies don't have.
Well, you can see what happened to the scientist that Goldberg's playing, Goldblum's playing. You're kind of like... you're watching, you're going, man, what would that be like if that was happening to me?
You know what I mean? It's a tragedy, it's like a tragic story. Yeah,
you can identify with it. You're like, oh man, that would suck. You know, he's vomiting on the fucking donuts, fucking dissolve them and lap them back up. You do it in front of people, go, oh yeah,
and
that's gross, isn't it?
He's trying to make light of it.
Yeah.
But he's making light of it because he's terrified.
Yeah, and then he's got this hope that he's going to be able to fix himself or that it's going to be okay. You know, I'm turning into something better. Nah, you turn into a fly.
That's what I'm saying. I think at first, because when he first goes through, like before he realizes that there was a fly in there, and he comes out, like you said, he's doing like gymnastics and stuff, and he's just like, oh my God, this is so awesome and stuff. But then like little things start, like he's in the coffee shop with Veronica, and he's like, keeps putting more and more sugar in there, and she's like, hey, you want some coffee with sugar right
starts
there?
Starts sweating out all
he's
this
like fucking, coking out.
Yeah. Starts sweating out all this milky grease and fucking, you know, he's just going through all these damn hormonal changes. I don't know what that's like. But he's got all these hormonal changes. And fucking, he just starts becoming real aggressive, feeling good, and wanting to fuck people up, and wanting to go after women, and he's starting to become an animal, you know. And he gets more and more insect-like as he goes. So, And that's what a fly would be. It would be like a robot, but it would have primitive emotions and drives. It just run, fight, breed, you know, lay eggs, just real simple shit. This is great, you know. Oh, I love flying around.
Whee!
Look at his turn. This is a fantastic turn. Oh, look at this. Got a dead dog. This is great. You know, I'm sure everything's great when you're a fly, you know. Oh, it's got me. Oh, help. Fly gets eaten by something, and that's their whole life, you know.
Yeah. For however long it is, a couple weeks.
I think they live a couple weeks.
I don't know how long.
But they probably just think it's great, and you know that's.
Yeah, they don't know any better.
No, real positive shit. We're flying around, dude. Yeah, it's awesome. Look at the turds. smell them a mile away.
But that's the thing. I kind of feel like that's what's so great about it. I mean, Jeff Goldblum is so fucking great in this, and the two of them are just great in this, and they play off each other so well. But it's kind of like, I think the best thing about his performance is that I think even from the beginning, he suspects that something went wrong. But he is so trying to convince himself that this was a good thing that, you know, that he's just like willing to just like, this is so awesome. And then, you know, then he tries to like make her go in and she's like, fuck no, dude. It's like, because she can already see like little things that are different about him. So she knows that something went wrong.
Well, he felt good instantly when he came out of there.
Yeah. But like I said, I think
he didn't know what happened, though.
I think like just like very, very soon after he came out, he started to I don't think he knew what it was, but I think he started to suspect that something was the matter.
Yeah.
Because he knew that he was different, but he was kind of like in denial, like trying to, you know, trying to make himself feel, but oh, this is a good thing.
I thought about this shit before. If you had a teleporter like that, that would disassemble all your molecules and then reassemble you perfectly, would that be you? I don't think it would be.
Well, like I said, watching this, I know this is weird, but it's like watching this made me kind of want to watch that fucking the Prestige, because that tackles that exact same question.
Yeah, I don't think it would be.
Where, you know, they invented a teleporter. Nikola Tesla invents a teleporter in that, and you know, and it makes essentially a clone of you.
A clone, right.
And so he just had to keep killing the clone, like every time he did the trick, because it was a different person.
That's what I think it would be.
It probably would, which
it
is
would
like
kill you. You would vanish. And then it would make an exact replica that would feel like it was you. It wouldn't be you, though. It would be like a clone of you, a perfect replica. It would not be you, though.
Yeah.
Your consciousness wouldn't be in it.
It's kind of like, I kind of feel like that concept is sort of hinted at in here with the stake.
Right.
Because remember when they put, because he can't figure out, like at first, he can't figure out why he can't transport like living tissue, only inanimate objects. And then he has the idea to like put a stake through there.
Yeah.
And then, like, in two pieces, and then he cooks it, and the one tastes fine, the one that didn't go through, obviously, but then the other one, she said it tastes synthetic, almost like the machine made a copy of it and didn't really know how to make, know what I mean?
See, essentially, your data.
Yeah.
You can just reduce a person to data, and then use the data to take molecules and put you back together. But the thing is if you have that data, you could put more than one of you back together.
Uh-huh.
So you could disintegrate one, and if you had the raw materials, build four. What, are there going to be four of you? No.
No one needs four of me.
They'll all think that they're you, but then, no, they're not you. They're fucking copies. And they're going to be alive. They'll probably have their own consciousness, but it's not your consciousness. Because if you could just scan a person and make a copy out of raw material, you would see a copy of you, so that would not be you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if that thing killed you, you would die.
Yeah.
There'd be and another one would take your place.
That would be freaky.
Yeah. So,
honestly,
this whole teleportation shit, nah. No thanks.
Like I said, I like that the movie The Prestige like went into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like showed what that would actually like be like if somebody did invent one.
I'm not buying that shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Anything that does like what the Star Trek transporter does kills you.
Yeah, so it's like every single time they go through that, Kirk gets killed, another Kirk popped up. It's not the same Kirk.
It's not the same Kirk. It's a cop. And they were worried, as far as the Star Trek lore, they were worried about that, but they had proved that, no, it's not. I ain't buying that either. No.
that was some hand-wavy kind of shit.
That would kill you.
No. It's the same. It's the same Kirk.
Because you wouldn't even have to transport it when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could just scan one and make a copy somewhere else and then kill this one and let that one live. And that's transportation.
You
could call that transportation. It wouldn't be. It'd be murder.
Yeah, because you're not transporting.
You're not transporting anybody.
That one didn't go anywhere.
Right. Right. Well, free-flowing molecules are not conscious. They're not live. As soon as you come apart into molecules, you've been fucking vaporized.
Yeah.
You're dead. Putting it back together, no, I ain't buying that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there's no reason to move those molecules because those molecules can be had on the other end. You can just assemble them over there with the ones you got over there.
We're just going to build another one.
Just build another one. Right. So
we don't need that one. Fuck that one.
It's not realistic. It's not efficient to transport those molecules across space and reassemble them. That's a waste of energy.
Yeah,
because it's not going to assemble you. It's going to... You've been vaporized. They can fucking play word games all they want. Ross knows. I know what life is.
No, I agree with you. So like I said, because when this came out, amazingly, even critics and stuff like that didn't normally like horror movies fucking loved this shit. Because they were just kind of like, this is, and like I said, as disgusting and over the top as the effects are and everything.
Well, it had a good script. It had a good story.
Yeah, it had a good story. It had good characters, good acting. Yeah. Actually, even in 1986, they were talking about maybe Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum like being nominated for Oscars, which of course they were not because it's a horror movie. But the guy that did the effects did get an Academy Award for this, and rightfully so, because the effects in this still look revolting to this day. You know what I mean? But so like I said, I was also going to say, when this came out in 1986, a lot of people saw it as, because that was kind of like the height of the AIDS epidemic, so a lot of people saw it as like a metaphor for AIDS. And they asked David Cronenberg about that, and he's like, well, yeah, if you've experienced that, then yeah, you can totally see it like that. He's like, I kind of meant it more as like a universal, like, disease or aging. Yeah. But he's like, yeah, it could totally be AIDS, because, you know, anything that's like a degenerative disease, he's like cancer, you know, or just the aging process or whatever. That was mostly what he wanted to do, something more like general. Now, as most people know, there was a sequel to this, The Fly 2.
Never saw it.
Probably Eric terrible. Stoltz. It's not bad. Not it bad. Was actually directed by the guy who did the special effects on the first film. With all of that entails, in that it's a special effects extravaganza, like a showcase.
Maybe we should see it.
Nothing wrong with it. I've seen it, like, several times. They showed it on cable a lot back in the old days.
So it's worth seeing?
Yeah, it's basically Eric Stoltz plays Seth and Veronica's son, Martin.
All right.
And he's kind of like carrying on the work, sort of.
So
like
he's not par fly then?
It goes that way.
It goes in that way, okay.
Because, I mean, you know. Right. Yeah, that's the, yeah, he was born right. normal,
yeah,
but I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I can't remember if he, I guess he transports himself too, just like his dad, even though I don't know. He didn't learn from his dad's mistakes, I guess. So a similar kind of thing happens to him. Like I said, it's not a bad movie, but it's not nearly as awesome as the first one. Interestingly, David Cronenberg himself, who is not a big fan of, like, making sequels of things, had actually written a treatment for... He's like, it's not exactly a sequel, but it's kind of like in the same vein. Like, it is about the telepods, and it is, like, about that. But he just never... And he actually wanted to make it, but he's like, well, the studio, like, wanted it to be low budget, and, like, the concept that I had needed a bigger budget, and they didn't want to pay for it. And so it kind of just, like, went back and forth. And Jeff Goldblum, even though he died in the first one, spoiler alert, he actually said, well, if Cronenberg made another one, I would totally do it, because he's like, I really, really liked working with David Cronenberg. Oh, that also reminds me too, the famous dream sequence where Gina Davis gives birth to a big maggot. And if you didn't know, that is actually David Cronenberg being the obstetrician. He actually didn't really want to do that. He's like, I don't usually... He'll act in other people's movies.
He pulled a Stephen King.
He'll act in other people's movies, but he doesn't like... Because he was in Nightbreed, I think, that Clive Barker movie. Played, like, the villain in that. But he's like, I don't really like to do cameos in my own movies. But Gina Davis asked him to be the obstetrician, like, in that scene. She's like, because she felt uncomfortable, like, with another actor being there, like, it, like, in between her legs, like, with the stirrups and everything. So she asked him to do it, so he said he would do it. So I just thought that was, like, kind of funny. They've also done, so Cronenberg, he said that he does have a treatment for a sort of sequel. He's like, it's kind of a lateral sequel in that it's a similar theme and like a similar story with like telepods, transformation, stuff like that, but it's not like a direct sequel. But I don't know if it's ever going to get made, so I don't know. They did so they have made one sequel, which, like I said, was okay. I remember it being okay. You know, it's not great, but it wasn't terrible.
I bet you a Cronenberg flick like that coming out now would do pretty good.
It probably would, and, yeah. You know, honestly, because he kind of moved away from horror in his, you know, because his more recent films, well, recent, now that they were a long time ago, but he's kind of gone more into, like a violent crime thriller direction, yeah. Like, you know, Eastern Promises and stuff, which are, you know, amazing movies, but they're not, like, straight-up horror movies. But, you know, and his son, you know, Brandon, is obviously doing arty horror movies, yeah. Too, like, just, which are also awesome.
They were good from what we've seen.
Yeah, I've seen both of them, yeah. Like, both of the ones that he's made so far, and they're both really good. But, yeah, so I think they did do a continuation, like, a graphic novel or something like that. Oh, I think back in 2008, David Cronenberg did an opera based on The Fly. I've seen, like, and it actually looked kind of cool. I mean, you know what I mean? But I don't know. I've seen, like, clips of it, like, on YouTube and stuff, and it looks kind of cool. But I just thought that was really funny that he made it into an opera. But, yeah, so anything else we need to say about The Fly?
Nah, it's good enough.
Like I said, it's on Hulu. It's a fucking classic. If you haven't seen it, get your ass over there. I mean, even people that haven't seen it, like I said, everybody knows the story because it's been parodied so many times, like with Person with a Fly Head and shit like that. But, yeah, hey, go. What?
It's good. Yeah, you want to see this one and The Thing?
This make a good double feature with The Thing, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely see it if you haven't. It's a classic, one of the best horror films of the 1980s, easily.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, go check it out. And that will do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.